Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Next 24 hours, enormous in determining who may be the next governor of the state of Minnesota. Michael Broadcorp about to join us. Chad Hartman here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Adam Carter rejoins the conversation at the bottom of the hour. If you want to pay attention to someone who knows the ins and outs of the Republican Party, Michael Broadcorp is at the top of the list. He's the former deputy chair of the party. He is still plugged in. He is a great follow and does a very good job reporting on this. Follow him on Twitter. You can track him down there. Michael is with us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Michael, it's been a while since we chatted. Hope all is well. Still paying close attention to what you're offering up. So let's talk about the next 24 hours. The candidates are trying to get the endorsement of 60% of the delegates. I've heard many people, I've talked to Hauser, I've heard a lot of smart people saying that Jensen is the favorite, which I agree with, and I don't know it as well as you, but that people are skeptical that Jensen or any other candidate will get to the 60% threshold, and that the most likely outcome is no one gets the endorsement. What do you think about that?
Chad, it's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. It is
absolutely.
I believe your analysis is spot on. I think that Jensen is in the lead. The question right now is where he is in the balloting. I think right now, if I think on the first ballot, I think that the Jensen's going to do very well. I think Kendall Qualls is going to do very well. But conventions traditionally like to endorse. The last time there was a convention, a Republican Party convention that did not endorse a statewide convention was 1996. I was a staffer for Rudy Boschwitz when he was battling for the endorsement against Burt McAtee. And the rules were changed after that convention to make it much more difficult for the party to not endorse candidates. There's drop-off rules that generally steer the candidates towards endorsements. And so what's interesting, the dynamics that come at the convention is a couple things that are working towards the possibility of there being no endorsement, to your point. There are a number of candidates. They are passionately supporting their candidates. And if those candidates stay locked in, there could be no endorsement. The other challenge that the party is having here, Chad, is that they're in Rochester. There is a very limited window for the party to conduct the convention. Usually these conventions are spread out over 3 days, and sometimes the conventions will go very late at night. The convention facility where the Republicans are at is at the Mayo Civic Center. They have to be out of the convention hall by midnight to give staff the opportunity to clean, and they can reconvene at 6 a.m. So they can't go all night. And then tomorrow, they have to be out of the convention hall around 6 p.m. because there's a convention, there's an event on Sunday. And what that creates is there's a need then for staff at the Mayo Civic Center to clean the convention hall and do things. So the party does not have a ton of time to get their business done.
So I want to talk about that because Hauser first told me about this last week. Earlier this week. Michael, was this done intentionally to try to provide some pace and speed to this? Or was this just done to save money?
I think it was done just to save money. Conventions political conventions, people who set up political conventions want there to be an endorsement. I just believe that in the planning of this convention that was done by the previous chair, Jennifer Carnahan, when this contract was signed, there was not a lot of thought given as to how all of this work could fit in such a short time frame. And so there are a number of restrictions, time restrictions, that you don't normally see at conventions. In particular, when, you know, I remember being at conventions, you know, as a staff reporting or volunteering, or when I was the deputy chair, that went very late into the night. So the party is kind of bookended tonight. They got to be done by midnight, and then they can't start again till 6 o'clock in the morning. And then they got to be out 12 hours later. And so it's a very, very tight time window, and that puts a lot of constraints on the delegates there. The party has adopted the use of electronic balloting. They just did that. That will speed up the endorsement process, but if there are any technical issues, they will then have to go to paper, which has been the traditional route of endorsing candidates. And that could add a lot of time that the party simply doesn't have, sir.
Okay, so let's stay with that on the electronic voting versus paper. As you know, the party for a long time in the state has pushed against Democrats in various forms of voter fraud. Mary Kiffmeyer's made her career about this. And then since 2020, with Donald Trump pushing the big lie, it's been a big, it's become even more prominent. Michael, do the Republicans look a little hypocritical when they're going with the electronic voting when so many times they've pushed against electronic voting and said, we got to have these paper ballots?
There's no question that they are. David Hand was recently elected party chair and replaced Carnahan. He was elected on the premise and said to the delegates, one of the things that I will support is auditing the source code that was used in the 2020 election in Minnesota. Delegates who are concerned about electronic voting raised the exact same concerns and asked to review the source code of the technology that's being used today, and they were not permitted to examine the source code. And so the delegates that spoke in favor of paper ballots raised the exact point that you said, which is that, look, if we want to be the party of election integrity, if we want there to be eyes on every ballot, we have to do this via paper. There were enough delegates there. They could have done it via paper, but I think the time constraints have spooked people. But it does raise there is a clear hypocrisy issue about the manner in which the party is conducting this convention.
All right, Michael, hang on. I'll put you on hold because I have many more topics to get to. Michael Broadcorp has plugged into the Republican Party as anybody in this state. When I come back, I'm going to ask this question to Michael. He does this all the time. I enjoy paying attention to politics. But the typical voter who is going to vote in the governor's race but isn't paying attention right now, why should he or she pay attention in the next 24 hours? That's with Michael when we come back here on CCO. You can follow our guest, Michael Broadcorp, on Twitter at M Broadcorp, B-R-O-D-K-O-R-B. As I've said multiple times, extremely plugged into what's taking place with the Republican Party, with the convention beginning today in Rochester. We're talking about the potential endorsement of a gubernatorial candidate. So this is your life. This is what you've done forever. I talk about politics all the time on the show, and I'm very curious about it. But for the typical voter, Michael, and you know this well, right, who they're worrying about fishing this weekend, or they're worrying about playing golf, or their family, or going out to dinner, or just hanging out. And they'll get into politics maybe September, October, and just before the election itself. Why should they pay a little more attention to what's happened in the next 24 hours?
Because ideally, this could be the start of the process for the Republicans in terms of picking a candidate. This could be where the kind of, in terms of the general election, kind of begins. This could be the starting line. Some people view this as kind of the preseason. If you're a Vikings fan, some might think this is like a preseason game. But on the Republican side, traditionally what happens at these conventions is that the Republicans pick their endorsed candidates. And unlike the DFL, which I think has a much more successful process in terms of running those candidates in the primary, Republicans have traditionally tried to kind of tidy up their business at these conventions. So who comes out of the conventions they endorsed? If the convention is run in a way that's unifying and people feel confident in the process, these could be the final candidates that could be on the general election ballot in November. And so this is the start of the process for a lot of people who are starting to pay attention. Most Minnesotans, Chad, are not paying that much attention. They'll read some blurbs here, but this is the start of the process. And depending on the outcome, if the convention is unifying and people have faith in the endorsement process, the candidates you see that win the endorsement could end up being the candidates that are on the general election ballot.
Well, it's such a good point, and it's such a contrast with the Democrats, right? You know, in 2010, yes, Dayton would end up winning the general election. He couldn't even get into the hall. In 18, Walz would win. He wasn't the endorsed candidate, but the Republicans follow this, and you nailed that. So let's talk Jensen. Scott Jensen used to come on this show, Michael, years ago, and we'd have him on as this moderate Republican who would get deals done. And then he left because he couldn't get deals done. And then he clearly saw the direction of the country, the direction of the state, and his own convictions changing a little bit. And he has become prominent as a contrarian in many ways on COVID, in his support of Donald Trump, in his belief of the big lie, and in his constant criticism of Tim Walz. So he is the favorite. We both agree on that. And you've expressed skepticism before in the first segment about whether he'll get to the 60% needed. Do you think, though, let me phrase it this way. Is he the best candidate for the Republicans to run if they want to realistically defeat Tim Walz? Or is there another candidate who plays better outside of just the endorsement process?
I do not think that Jensen is an electable candidate against Walz. Let me also be very clear. I have no connection to any campaigns. I'm not doing any paid work. So just offering my analysis. I have said consistently that I think that the positions that Jensen has taken related to the big lie, COVID, his support of his alignment with the number of the people inside the Trump element, I think makes him unelectable statewide against Walz. So I would like, my preference would be to see him not be endorsed or to see there be another candidate out there. I hear a lot of good things about Kendall Walz. I think that he would represent more of an opportunity for Republicans to win statewide. I think his message has been more geared towards the general election. I think what Jensen has done, I think a very good job of doing is running a campaign to win the endorsement. And ultimately, this is not the big prize today. Democrats understand that. And I think that the problem right now inside the Republican Party is that what gets you to win, that what the type of campaign that you need to run to get endorsed is not the type of campaign that ultimately makes you electable to in the general election. Because I think the middle and the center of the Republican Party is very far to the right of the broader Minnesota electorate. The last time a Republican endorsed candidate won in Minnesota was statewide was 2006. The last time a Republican endorsed candidate for governor got more than 50% of the vote was Al Quie in 1982. David Durenberger in 1988 was the last endorsed Republican candidate for the United States Senate to get more than 50%. So the process by which the Democrats are picking and choosing their candidates, I think, is operationally better. And I think their message of their candidates fits more into the mainstream of where Minnesotans are.
Michael Broadcorp is with us. I want to remind you that the station will provide outstanding coverage. Paul Hodawanek And Blois Olson already in Rochester. So tonight and tomorrow, the station will be a valuable resource to find out about what's going on down in Rochester. So make sure you get the thoughts, the reporting from Paul, and the analysis from Blois. So Channel 5 comes out with polling on pretty much every candidate against Tim Walz. And Scott Jensen is the closest. Walz still has a lead of, what was it, 5 or 6 points. But what stood out most to me, Michael, was the high percentage, double figures of folks who are polled who are undecided. Now, if you're paying attention, you know that Tim Walz and Scott Jensen, or Tim Walz and Paul Gazelka, or Tim Walz and Kendall Qualls, they don't agree on a lot. So to me, when I see that much, that high of a percentage of undecided, that tells me there are a lot of people who are not real happy with Tim Walz and are looking to see if someone is viable to replace him. Do you agree with me on that theory on the number of undecideds?
I absolutely agree with you. The problem for the Republicans is how do they have the resources to message to those undecideds? Which campaign, let's accept the premise, and I agree with you, that there's a pool of undecided. Which political party has the best resources, the most money, and the operation to target and win those undecideds? Tim Walz is ahead in the polls, but where he's also very much ahead is in fundraising. He has a sizable cash advantage.
Huge.
Over Jensen. And so I think many Republicans mistakenly accept the premise, well, that if there's this pool of undecided, both sides are going to have the opportunity to equally fight for them. Well, that's not really true, because whoever has the best organization, the best message, and the best ability to engage and connect with those voters is going to win. And that's where I think ultimately the Democrats still have that cash advantage. So they have an incumbent governor who's under 50, which is a warning sign. But the question comes down to who's going to be able to organize and target those undecided. And the cash advantage and the organizational advantage goes to the Democrats. The generic ballot, though, as of right now, clearly favors the Republicans. And so it's going to be a real horse race to see who wins in November.
Yeah, I would lean Walz because of what you said.
I would too.
But there are a lot of independents who are not happy about it. And it's not just in greater Minnesota, locally. And I think the recent, if the Roe v. Wade leaked report is right, I think that could potentially hurt the Republicans with maybe suburban women who want to vote a different way but are concerned about the impact of that. Hey, I really enjoyed the conversation. Good stuff. We'll have you on again soon. I'll be paying attention over the next 24 hours.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Michael Broadcorp, M. Broadcorp on Twitter. I am going to get Quinton off the bus as we give you traffic and weather. Laura's going to give you the traffic. Carter, I don't know, Cook. I mean, 0 to 10, is he really at the opener? What's your guess, as opposed to a local golf course? And he's recorded these. We know he records bits all the time.
Oh, for sure.
How is this any different?
I mean, it's 55-45 at best, right? And then you got to ask, if he actually is there, is he actually sober? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I ask that question every day.
Well, that's
so
true.
That's not a new. Okay. I say there's a 10% chance he's actually Cass Lake. I mean, he's in a lake. He's in a body of water, but that's because he's boating here in town, or that cut shot he hits all the time. He's knocked it in the water somewhere. All right, we're back with traffic, weather, and Mr. Carter from somewhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.